Hello, hello. This is JT and welcome to my podcast. It's Just a Belief. Today, I answer a very important question I had last week. I was a guest on a podcast, Valerie Koopman podcast, and she asked me very interesting questions. And one of them was, Jenny Lynn, why do you think some people are not healing? So she used the word healing because she's in that kind of spiritual work, which I'm not really, and I'll talk more about change, transformation, transition. So why the people are not changing or are transitioning or transforming? I'll answer that question. In fact, I don't have the monopole of that answer, but I'll give you my outlook, given of what I see in my practice. But before we do so, as you know, I encourage you to sign up to my website, hypnocoach.ca, so you get the latest invitation to free events and my newsletter every week.
She lives in the wonderful world of the state of hypnosis and finds hidden gems in your subconscious mind. She laughs, she loves, she breathes, goes deep, transforms, transitions, and laughs again. More than anything, she knows that it's just a belief.
So let's imagine you're on a beautiful beach under a superb sun, walking, and this new person come along. You're in a good mood and you start, you know, engaging with the person. You have a good conversation, talk about the weather first, you know, as we all do. Then where are you from? Then what do? Do you have kids? Blah, 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 blah. Maybe you talk about COVID, who knows? And then you start to get comfortable with the person and you feel like you can have like that kind of open conversation you have with a stranger. And here is what you say about yourself. Oh, me, I don't have confidence in myself. Oh, yeah. I hate to travel all by myself. I am such a timid person. Oh, I'm a lazy person. Oh, and you start saying, you know, giving this person that line, that narrative about yourself. It's kind of that sentence that you use to describe yourself over and over again. When you feel that you can open up, or even sometimes just as an icebreaker, this is something you will say about yourself. What would that be? So tell me, what would that be? What is your storyline, narrative? Imagine you're walking on the beach. You meet this wonderful, empathic, nice, open person that listens to you. And here is what you say about yourself. Oh, me, I'm not a confident person. I don't have confidence. See, I would have done all this in my life, but I don't have confidence. You know, if I was not lazy, I would have done this and that. Oh, you know, I'm just not that kind of person. I'm not spiritual. Whatever. So I'm sure you have one. Or you have one that you say a lot. But you know, the more you say this thing, every time you say this thing, you deepen your belief. You wire this belief more and more into you because the brain learns by repetition. And the more you say something, the more you believe in it. So every time you say it, you reinforce it. So please, if you choose a storyline or a narrative, say something nice about you. Oh, you know, I am so good at this and that, or one of my strengths is, or whatever. This is what I encourage you to do. So how does that answer partly to the reason why people have difficulties changing certain things in their life? It's because their belief, their storyline, their belief, their narrative, and more, even more than they believe in it, they get benefit from it. Yeah, you hear me? They get benefit from it. So from a longest time, the longest time, I would say to people, or I would say to myself, probably more to myself than to others. Oh, you know, if I stop drinking, I'm going to be boring. Because I thought that alcohol helped me being more social, more acceptable. Or I would say things like, oh, my life will be so dull if I don't drink. I can't imagine my life without wine. It would be so boring. So these were all my storylines to keep drinking. So, you know, it was kind of a reason for me, a false reason, something that's untrue, because now that I'm not drinking, I can say that I'm more social because I engage with people for real. I don't engage with them with a lubricant, which is wine. And when they talk to me, I don't talk back to the bottle of wine. I talk to them and I listen to them and I look at them. In fact, last week in the podcast, in a French podcast, we did the interview in French. She said, you know, now that I've done this work, I look at people in their eyes and I can really connect with them because now I'm connected to myself. Well, it's a bit of the same, right? So all those excuses, all my narrative about why I couldn't stop drinking were just that I got perceived benefits. And the perceived benefits was, you know, when I drink, I'm more social, I'm less awkward, I'm more intelligent, blah, blah, blah. So what are the stories you're telling yourself about the benefits of being lacking confidence, right? And you may say, well, there's no benefits of, you know, lacking confidence. And if I say to you, okay, so if you were fully confident, what would you do? And you say, well, I'll open a business, or I'll leave my husband, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. But then I say, okay, so, you know, what prevents you from doing it? And they say, well, I have no confidence, right? So you see that vicious circle. So the idea is that if I'm getting to be a confident person, I will do all those things I don't want to do. So I don't want to become confident because I don't want to do these things. And it's twisted, right? And I know now some people are just going to say, you know, this girl is bizarre. And that's okay. I accept it. It's not the first thing that I said on this podcast. But the reality of it is that there are benefits to your narrative, to those things you say about yourself that are untrue, but that you keep saying over and over again until they become true, because you want them to be true. So there's a question I ask often to people is, okay, we're about 1.5 hours into the session and this person will have identified a belief. Let's say, let's take the one, you know, I'm not confident. So we'll go there and I'll say, okay, I'm the part of me that strongly believe that I am not confident. And the objective of this belief all my life has been, and I will have interesting answer. Okay, I'll do it again. Close your eyes. Think about this belief you have, this narrative that you say about yourself, that negative thing that you hold on to. So that prevents you from changing or moving forward. I am the part of me that believes that I'm not confident. And the objective of this belief that I had all my life is to prevent me from leaving my husband, preventing from starting a business, keeps me at home so that I don't have to go in those social engagement that I don't like. See, the link between the limiting beliefs and the action is very, very far. But at the end, this is where. So, you know, because the belief create the emotion create the action, and the action create your life, right? Who says that if you would become confident, that you would need to leave your husband, your job, or whatever? Maybe once you're confident, you're happy to be there because you're not showing up the same way. Who says, just like me, right, that once I stopped drinking, I wouldn't be able to engage with people or be socially acceptable, less awkward, and be funny. In fact, I find I'm more funny and I'm more able to connect truly with people now that I don't drink, right? So the false belief and the false benefits is there to keep you stuck. And again, this is not in all cases, this is not everybody. And I don't have the whole story about why people don't change. There are other beliefs, right? There are all the beliefs about change themselves. Like it's hard to change. We can change when we're older. All these beliefs, you know, are preventing sometimes people to change. But this is not where I want to go today. Where I want to go today is really like, okay, you know, what is the story you tell yourself that prevents you from really changing? So this is what I answered Valeria. I said, you know, people are, it's difficult for them because they are attached to the pain. They're attached to the beliefs that creates the pain and they see benefits in it. And I'm not saying that to throw rock at people or to think that they're miserable. They don't do that consciously. It's very, very subconscious. It's so subconscious that when I do ask the questions to people and then they realize the benefit, they're like, oh my God, I don't need this belief anymore to protect myself. I don't need this belief anymore to feel secure. I don't need this belief anymore to speak up, because speaking up is a big part of the change. And this is where also people get stuck. In order to change something important in the way you are, in order to change your beliefs, at one point it will manifest in your action. And part of the action, right, happens in the talking. So you will say something, you will have limits, healthy boundaries, or you will just say things that you want to say that you never said before. And the fear of the response from others, of losing people, of losing love, because we know attachment is often much stronger than the need for authenticity. When the two, Dr. Gabor Maté always says, you know, when the two are confronted, the need for authenticity and the need for attachment, often the need for attachment supersedes, trumps the authenticity. And this is because of the beliefs also that we have, right, about ourselves and about the projection that we're going to lose something. We're so anchored into what we can lose instead of what we can earn and win from changing, which is absolutely normal because that's survival, right? It's to prevent you from losing things, preventing you, securing you, keeping you safe. This is the job of your brain, you know, and your whole body keeping you safe. So it's absolutely normal. So I'm not throwing rocks at anybody because, you know, we all do that. But to the question, why for some people it is so hard to change, or to, for her, in her vocabulary, was to heal. For me, the answer is really because there's an attachment to the pain, there's an attachment to the narrative, there's an attachment to the benefits of, or the perceived benefits of keeping those limiting beliefs. I hope this gives you some food for thought, especially if you're frustrated about people around you who don't want to change. I never force people into change. Like that's my work, right? And when I see that somebody, you know, there's one of the beliefs that we encounter that the person doesn't want to change, you know, I make sure that I respect that. And sometimes we're only going to take a little piece of it. Like sometimes, you know, I want to keep being lazy for everything except this thing. That's fine, right? I want to stay very discreet, or I want to say low profile for everything except this thing. That's fine. You know, we can go there. And then sometimes the experience of this new part of you changing bit by bit, pieces by piece, you know, will, you know, bring a certain level of comfort that will bring you to other changes. So if you are frustrated with some people around you that you see that they're not changing, they don't want to change, and it frustrates you, think about all this and think about your own reaction to it, right? And the frustration. Why does that frustrate you, and what you can do yourself about it to maybe see it from a different viewpoint. And that doesn't mean you need to accept to stay or in that situation with that person or that employer and everything, but it gives you a different perspective. So voila, this was my podcast this week. As you know, if you want to chat about your challenges, how hard it is for you to change your narrative of some of your difficult, very tenacious beliefs, I offer a 33-minute call, and I'll be happy to discuss with you. And until next time, as you know, it's just a belief.